Hey, you're listening to the Canadian Agent Missional Podcast, and this is one of our special refinable episodes, Personal Portraits of Gospel-Shaped Lives. It is our deep hope that God would speak to you through these life journeys and stories and narratives, and that they would encourage and inspire you to follow Christ in deeper and intentional ways, especially in regards to how the gospel can shape and, in some cases, reshape a person's life. Today's guest is a follower of Christ, a husband, a father, the pastor of Japanese Gospel Church. He's big into coffee culture and escape rooms, according to your Facebook, and he is always super friendly and stylish. Kevin Uetta, we're going to jump right into our big five, main questions. Question number one, how has the gospel personally shaped and worked in your life?
So born and raised in a Christian home, and so growing up from a very young age, always part of the church culture. I remember attending Sunday gatherings with the family, so I knew all the Bible stories. I knew that for the longest time I was able to articulate the gospel, and I could share the gospel. I knew what to say, and I knew, you know, all the right passages and all that. But there was a point in my life where I just realized that I really was adhering to more of a works-based sort of righteousness. I didn't know it at the time. For example, there's a point in my life a bit later on, where I realized that I had this habit of praying the sinner's prayer over and over again.
Right.
And it would go through a cycle where I'd be like, okay, yeah, I feel like I'm really close to God, and find myself, you know, giving into temptations and falling into sin, and then, you know, praying for forgiveness. And each time that cycle went on, I just felt more and more unsure.
Sure.
Of my walk, my relationship with God through Jesus. And so there was a point in my time, as I mentioned, a bit later on in my life, when I found the gospel once again just really shaping me and really transformed me. And it was around university days where I read a passage, I'll read it out, 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it's written, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And I remember reading this passage then and actually hearing speakers speak on this particular passage. And it came to me, I came to this realization that I really didn't experience the freedom of the gospel for the longest part of my life. It felt like I was just bound by this cycle of guilt and shame and, you know, and this, you know, really unhealthy cycle. So when I really felt God speaking to me through this passage in particular, and speakers at different conferences and retreats who were also referring to this passage, I just realized, wow, you know, I had not been living in the freedom of Jesus Christ for most of my life. And so when I experienced that almost born again type of experience, it just found this, this incredible sense of freedom to know that my relationship with God was not based on my own righteousness.
Yeah, your own works, your performance.
Exactly, because that's what I was relying on. I was relying on my works to somehow make myself acceptable before a holy God. But it was just a powerful reminder that the freedom in Christ is that it's actually his righteousness that covers me. It's what God sees. Says, you know, in that passage, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So it really wasn't up to me. I realized that. I realized my salvation came from the belief that Jesus had already become all these things for me.
Sure.
And so that really was the turning point. And so I feel that it's an ongoing encounter with the gospel. Mm-hmm. I find the gospel continues to inform me in all aspects of life. I know that there are areas of my life I need to continue to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So I feel that I'm always, it's a lifelong process of being made into disciple of Jesus Christ, maturing as a believer.
And also to experience that freedom too, right? Like you're talking about,
So freed from the sense of works-based righteousness.
Yeah, awesome. How has the gospel shaped you in your family? And let's talk about in your marriage and as a father and perhaps even as a son.
Yeah, I'll talk about my marriage relationship. So I'm married to my wife, Michelle, for just over 10 years now. And I celebrated 10 years last year. Yeah. I keep telling people and that I believe that marriage is an arena for discipleship. I believe that God has assigned the marriage relationship in order that we might spur one another on in our walk with Christ.
Right.
And I see that happen. So earlier on, even before I got married, I saw marriage as sort of like a crutch, sort of a way to help me with all the struggles that I had faced at that point in my life.
Uh-huh.
And so after getting married, of course, you know, as I continue to hold on to that, of course, you know, I believe that's not true. I struggled when I realized that there are difficulties in my marriage. And I thought to myself, well, this isn't what I hoped or what I thought marriage would be like. I thought that being married would make me a more devout follower of Christ. Being married would make me a better person. being married would make me a more mature disciple of Jesus Christ. And so I really saw marriage as a crutch in an unhealthy way.
Sure.
So we've learned, we've learned through different struggles and different circumstances. And once again, just seeing the power of the gospel shape me primarily, my understanding of how I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, how I have been freed, as I mentioned before, freed from a works-based sort of righteousness that I can find full freedom in Jesus Christ, really helped shape the marriage relationship that I was in, my marriage relationship with my wife, Michelle. So yeah, it's been an incredible journey being formed by the gospel.
Yeah. How has it shaped you as a dad? You got two kids?
Two kids, yeah. A daughter who's 5, a son who's 3. Mm-hmm. Kids, I tell everyone, kids keep me busy. They're very energetic, and I love that about them. But there's sometimes I just, I get really tired as a father and as a parent. And I think, it's really been cool. I see how God's been teaching me more about himself through being a parent.
Sure.
So learning through the blessings, learning through the joys, but also some of the struggles as well. One area of the question of how the gospel has shaped and informed me as a parent. We've been trying to, Michelle and I, my wife and I, have been trying to be more intentional in modeling grace with our kids and what it means to even speak the gospel in their lives. And so one understanding that we have is, we could always endeavor to be the best parents we can be. That we can try to be loving, we can be caring, we could be forgiving, we could be, gracious and all these different things. But we know that God is so much better. That God is a father will always love him more than we ever can. So whatever we have to offer them, God gives them a better gift than Jesus. God gives a better gift in himself.
Yeah.
And so when we share with our kids, when we have conversations, we try when we can, when we are able to remember to do so, always point the way towards God himself.
Yeah,
so we'll say, we love you. I love you as a father. I love you as you're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. But just know that God will always love you more than I ever can. So we've been trying to be more intentional in how we talk about God in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And even things like discipline. This is, an area of struggle. I find that I get really easily frustrated.
Sure.
And so this is where I need the gospel to inform me as a follower of Christ, as a child of God. But as a parent, to see how and ask ourselves, how does gospel inform us in our way of disciplining our children?
Sure.
How do we model grace, right? Mm-hmm. Not just punishment or crime and punishment or black and white, but how do we model grace? How do we actually point the way towards Jesus and what He has done for us, right? So when we discipline our children, we try to look at the issues of the heart to try to gain an understanding. Why would what attitude or what posture in their heart would lead to some of these behaviors that we're seeing and try to address those deeper issues. It's not been easy. So I don't want to make it sound like it's an easy task being a parent. It's definitely been a challenge in a lot of ways, but it's been an exciting journey because it really does. I really do feel that, Jesus has been walking with us as parents.
Yeah. Has it shaped you in any way as a son? Are your parents do they live in Toronto?
Yeah. My wife's parents live in the city, and so do my parents.
Sure.
So we have a very good close relationship with our parents.
Yeah.
So as a
son and a son-in-law.
Yeah. Oh, it's been awesome. So as a son, it's really helped me to think. The gospel has really helped me to think. Yeah, give perspective my relationship with my parents.
Yeah.
So my parents, as I mentioned, they brought me up in a Christian home, so we did all the things that Christian families do, or with the going to Sunday worship services together as a church family, take part in various church events, and so they've been very supportive in that sense and give me a good environment for my upbringing. I think lately the gospel has really helped me to understand or have perspective on the relationship I have with them. And so as a child growing up, I would look to my parents and I would almost like want that perfect version of love for them, that perfect version of acceptance.
Sure.
And so when I didn't get that, I'd be disappointed. Or I'd be hurt, right? Even later on in life, even as a teenager, and as a teenager, some of us go through some difficult relationship dynamics with our parents, and I did as well. And in those times, it's very difficult to see my parents in light of how the gospel's, not just shaping me, but gospel shaping them.
Yeah.
And I almost expected of them to be that, the incarnation of perfect love, which of course, they can never be.
Sure.
So that's been an experience and a journey as well to see that, my parents have their faults, they have their shortcomings, but to really learn to appreciate them in them, that they are also children of God, that they are also maturing believers, that they are also maturing disciples of Jesus. And just like how Jesus is working my life, to appreciate the fact that Jesus is working their lives as well.
Yeah.
And so that's been really good for us.
That's super awesome. And I don't hear that a lot about you know, parents be open about that side of their life and about being like, and for a child to look at their own parent and say, well, you know, that is a child of God. That's someone who God has made and God loves and is working in their life. Like, I don't hear that a lot, right? Yeah. How has the gospel shaped you in your profession, in your vocation? And you are a pastor at the Japanese Gospel Church. And so how has the gospel really shaped you in that way?
So as I mentioned, the struggles of workspace righteousness come out in full force in this area. So even in my pastoral career ministry, I've struggled with this quite a bit, where I find myself trying to do more or to do better, to think that this is somehow a way of justifying or making me righteous before God.
Yeah. Right?
So I have this temptation I deal with of really focusing on works. And, you know, I shared candidly with my church last week, but I realized there are times when the real prize that I was striving for was the excellence in works. It was the strategizing, it was the planning, the visioning, the implementing, the works, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't based on a foundation of me finding myself fully fulfilled in God's love. And so that wasn't my prize. My prize was all this other stuff. It was works.
Sure.
It wasn't really God himself. And so that's been an area of struggle and weakness. So particularly in that area, I feel that that's where the gospel has really been shaping me, because it reminds me, of course, it's not these things, right? God frees me from the sense of, works or trying to do more.
Sure.
But it really is belief in Jesus Christ, finding freedom in him. So that's been a very, a big learning experience for me. I've learned that as a pastor, the importance of being transparent with my church. I know that in some church cultures, particularly I believe in Japanese church culture, that the pastor will try to maintain some sort of distance with their congregation.
Mm.
And, the intention, of course, is to maintain a position of authority, right? To be able to speak from a place of authority. But I've come to learn that even as a pastor, even in a Japanese Canadian context, that the best thing I could give to the church is not myself. It's not my wisdom. It's not really my experience. The best thing I give to my church really is Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it's really kind of shifted my way of thinking. So in my struggles, I've learned to be candid about the things I'm struggling with, so that I can share with them that God in His grace through Jesus Christ has redeemed these areas of struggle in my life.
Sure.
And so, my goal is really to highlight Jesus Christ and bring the glory to Him. And I think this is an important aspect of discipleship. We've talked quite a bit about that.
Yeah.
And I think that this is, one way that as a pastor, as a shepherd, that God's called me to disciple members of the church, by doing what I can to make myself transparent to a certain degree, and really highlighting Jesus Christ and God's grace in my life through Him.
Yeah. This is a perfect segue into our big question number two. How would you define and describe the process of discipleship? Have you feel that it's changed over the years?
Yeah. So currently, let's see, discipleship, I would say, is the process by which we're increasingly submitting all of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's the relying on the work of the Spirit that works to transform us. Yeah, so that's what it means to be made into a disciple. And discipleship, I would say, is walking with others in that process. It's teaching them, but also showing them through your own life and through your experience what it means to continually submit your lives to Jesus.
Yeah.
Originally, my first or earlier understanding of discipleship were primarily knowledge based.
Sure.
And so I would go through discipleship curriculums where be a set of Bible study questions and different things I needed to learn as a disciple. Right.
Sure.
So I would equate discipleship to knowledge.
Right.
And that was my initial or earlier understanding.
Like assimilating information or just
exactly.
Learning more, like more
right.
Head stuff, right?
Right. And of course, the assumption was that as I learned more, that my life would be shaped more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, and thus discipleship. So it was primarily done in a classroom type setting.
Sure.
Where I'd go through these materials. And so we would actually talk about the practice of being a disciple, but we wouldn't actually go out and do those things.
Mm.
And so that was my early definition or understanding and experience of discipleship.
At what point did it kind of start to shift and to change?
Well, I asked myself this question: What were the main influencers in my Christian life, my walk with Jesus? Was it a particular program? Was it a particular class? Was it a particular message or sermon? And when I think back, it's all people. And I could actually name names of people that have walked with me at different points in my life. And I think, okay, well, that's actually what's been the most influential. These people have been the most influential people in my walk with Jesus.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And it really awesome. Points back to people. And so that's why when I guess shifted my way of thinking.
Yeah.
And I realized, yeah, no, it really, I mean, the classrooms and the knowledge, of course, you know, these things might have been helpful to a certain degree. And of course, the messages and sermons that I heard were all helpful in helping to formulate my own thoughts, my understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, and how the Holy Spirit works. But it really is people that have walked with me that have made the most difference in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I realized, okay, this is what discipleship is, more than just passing on of knowledge.
So what has that process looked like for you to become a disciple of Christ? You talked about some of the differences it's made in your life. So in that discipleship process, what have some of the biggest changes been in your life?
For example, there was a point in time when someone from my you know, current church where I serve at actually discipled me intentionally. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this person invited me into their, you know, family life, into, you know, the complexities of the marriage relationship, and different ways that, you know, he modeled for me what faith looks like in the home.
Yeah.
What faith looks like in the workplace even as well. We had some conversations about that. And so not only was I learning about what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but I was also seeing as an example through his life what it means to submit your life to Jesus in these areas. So what does it mean to be a, you know, God-fearing husband, for example?
Yeah.
Or what does it mean to be, you know, a disciple, or, you know, to be a God-fearing parents or
sure.
father. So that was, you know, a really formative experience for me. And yeah, these are the kinds of examples I look back and I can point to as being very the most influential factors in helping me to be a disciple of Jesus.
You know, there's been a recent movement in Christendom focusing on the mission of God, or the Missio Dei. You know, how have you come to understand what the mission of God is? How do you believe that you have been personally called to be part of that?
Well, even the term Missio Dei, my understanding of it is not just an activity, but it's really the identity of who God is. And so if you look back at scriptures and see how God is revealed through scriptures, we see that God is ascending God.
Mm.
And that's his nature. And so this, I believe that the understanding of God informs how we are to live. And so starting with God, you know, mission starts with God. And then it's a question we ask ourselves: how do we participate? How do we come alongside God with the work that he's already doing?
Yeah.
And to see that being lived out also, again, as a reflection of who God has created us to be, made in his image.
Sure.
If God is ascending God, then we are ones who are sent to the world, right, to be his witnesses. I believe the goal of missions is to reveal God's glory in all areas of life.
Right.
It's God's glory being revealed in our marriages. And so part of missions is, as I mentioned, you know, not just telling others, well, what does it mean to be a Christian husband, but showing people what it looks like to be Christ's following husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's his glory being revealed in the workplace. Oftentimes we struggle with that sort of dualistic nature of, okay, God is in the church, but God is not in the workplace. I don't think that's true.
Right.
So missions is showing people, teaching people, what does it mean to see God's glory being revealed in the workplace, God's glory being revealed in, you know, social justice, his glory being revealed in mission itself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And reaching out to unreached people groups. And I believe that when his glory is revealed in mission, it ultimately leads to worship.
Mm.
So personally, this call to mission is a huge question. I caught my first glimpse of missions when I was called as a short-term worker, and this was right, you know, within Canada to a different province. So for 2 weeks, I was part of a short-term missions team to Calgary, Alberta, okay. And I took part in helping out with a VBS there, as well as a camp ministry. And it was the first time where, you know, I had to see myself in a situation that was outside of my comfort zone. So I was going to a place where I knew no one. I knew no one in Calgary. I didn't know anyone in Alberta. And here I was serving for 2 weeks with a church I had no previous relationship with, but also being involved in a lot of work that I wasn't really doing here at home.
Sure.
So actually, you know, going out into the community, knocking on doors, getting to know, you know, the neighbors around the neighborhood of where the church building was located, all these different experiences really stretched me. But I came back from that. I mean, it was an exciting and a joyful experience, but it was also a very convicting experience.
Mm.
Because I think in that situation, that experience, God taught me a lot of ways what it means to be intentional with the life that he's given me.
Sure.
And what it means to see missions as part of the overall discipleship process.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So that was sort of the beginnings. And then later on, God called me to be a missionary overseas in Japan. And that's where God just unloaded this huge sense.
Bomb.
Yeah, dropped the bomb and, you know, gave me such a burden for the people of Japan. And that's really been, I'm still living that out even now. So that's really where it started, with how God has led me specifically with a passion and calling to reach out to the Japanese. And that's where I find myself right now, my current context.
Fantastic. Big question number four is this. What have some of the greatest joys you've experienced through walking with God?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, it's this freedom. There's this unparalleled sense of freedom in the gospel. There's this unparalleled sense of freedom in walking with God. I know people say that Christianity is just all a bunch of rules and restrictions meant to, you know, keep you, you know, bound, right? But it really isn't. When I in my own experience living this out and experiencing this freedom, it really is, you know, led me to believe that it's gospel frees me to become really the best version of me. In other words, the way that God originally created us to be.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I look back at Genesis and how God created us in His own image, and that's a huge part of the gospel for me.
Yeah.
Right. So the asking ourselves the question, what are we actually saved to? You know, we are saved to this, that this is who God created us to be. This is our identity.
Yeah.
It was marred by sin, but originally God created us in His own image. And when He created us, He said it was very good. Right?
Sure.
And so that's really been an excitement, such a joy that I find to know that through Jesus and in Jesus Christ, I can now be this best version of myself in a way.
Yeah, for sure.
There's also been, you know, just such a blessing of journeying with others and, you know, the discipleship opportunities that God's called me to and blessed me with. Seeing others, you know, in their continued discovery of who Jesus is has been such a life-giving experience for me.
Very cool. Our last big question, question number five. What have been some of the hardest and challenging moments in your life and faith? And how do you believe the gospel has been good news and a source of hope during those times?
So I believe one of the areas where I feel I've had greatest challenge would be in my marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned in a previous question that I would see marriage as a crutch of sorts, where I thought that if I were married, that it would solve all of life's problems, you know, help me become a better Christian.
Automatic.
A better person, yeah. but, you know, of course, it wasn't so. One of the ways that I struggled early on, this would actually have to do with my vocation as a pastor as well, where I would come home, and after a long day of ministry, you know, come home, I'd be tired, I'd be stressed, and being an introvert, I would crave for that time alone. And so my wife, Michelle, would often get the leftovers of my time.
Mm.
And so, you know, she would want to connect after a long day and being apart, and I would have a tendency to actually shut her out. And so this became a bit of a pattern earlier on in marriage, and really, we struggled quite a bit because of that.
Yeah.
I had to kind of relearn, you know, what it means to be a faithful husband in the home. What it means to, you know, allow the gospel to shape me as a husband, sure. But also as a pastor, to understand the importance of ministry in the home. And so I felt that was a big learning experience for me to be able to, first of all, identify my area of weakness. Originally, I thought that, you know, that's just the nature of work. You know?
Right.
When you're at work, you got to give it your all. And when you're home, you rest, right? You sort of like retreat from work and you rest at home. That was my original understanding. So I had to kind of identify my areas of disbelief in that particular area, and to understand that no, you know, it's not that I come home to rest, but really the presence of Christ. It's not just where I serve as pastor, but especially in the home. You know, do I allow Christ's presence to permeate into all aspects of being as a husband in the home and how I relate with my wife Michelle? So that's where I really experienced quite a bit of struggle early on in marriage. You know, say that I've grown from that experience, and you know, where there are a lot of the things, of course, that we're still working on as a married couple.
Sure.
But God has been gracious, and it's been just an incredible journey with Jesus and helping us to develop a marriage relationship over the years.
Nice. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Of course.
All right. To finish off our interview, we end off with the refinable rapid fire round. All right. So we're going to ask you, Kevin, a series of quick and fun questions. And the goal is to respond with the first answer that pops into your head. Just the answer.
All right.
No explanation needed. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Question number one. Best place to grab a coffee in the GTA?
DeMello.
Bagel or croissant?
Croissant.
Window or aisle seat?
Aisle seat.
Best place to visit in the world?
Japan.
Sushi or ramen?
Ooh, sushi.
Favorite thing about where you live right now?
Diversity and cultures.
What inspires you?
People.
How would you spend $10?
On coffee.
Yeah. What is the most interesting place to watch people?
Downtown.
Where's your favorite place to be alone?
In a park.
What was the third thing you did when you woke up this morning?
Read a book.
What is something new you learned within the last week?
The Oscar winners.
If you weren't in your current profession, what would you be doing?
Barista at a coffee shop.
Yeah. If you had a superhero power, what would it be?
Teleportation.
What is the strangest gift you've ever received?
A Snoopy snow cone maker.
What is the best advice you've ever been given?
Let it all go and give it up to God.
Do you follow it?
There are times when I can and when I try to.
What is something you couldn't live without?
Coffee.
What is something you could live without?
Tim Hortons coffee.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What is one day in your life that you would like to relive?
Wedding day.
Who is your favorite fictional character?
Bilbo Baggins.
If your teenage self saw you today, what would he think?
I lead a very busy life.
What do you think he would be most impressed with?
The amount of books I read.
Nice. All right. Thank you so much, Kevin. This has been one of our special Refinable episodes. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes and Podbean. Don't forget to rate and review our episodes. We'd love to hear from you, so hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or contact us by email. Leave us your comments and your feedback. Let us know how you're engaging with being missional in your lives and how our podcast can continue to be engaging in some of those issues. Once again, you're listening to the Canadian Asian Missional Podcast, and we hope that you will join us on this journey. See you next time.